Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory. Now, we got a lot to say today, so let's just get right down into this. Let's open our Bibles where we were yesterday in the book of Philippians. Now, I remind you that he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. From the first day until now. And then, because I have you all in my heart. Now, I don't know of a better way to describe my relationship with my partners. And they're on my mind all the time. Now, I want you to go over here. He said, verse 17, back up here, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know. Now listen to this, partners. Listen to this carefully. I know that this shall turn to my salvation, Greg, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait between two. Listen, where's my camera? Listen now, partners, listen to those who are praying about becoming a partner with this ministry. Having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better. Yes. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Right. Now, he's writing a letter, and to us it seems like, you just sit down and write a letter. No.
In prison.
He's in prison. And he's up something like this in sewage underneath this thing. And he's dictating it. And he's thinking, man, I'd like to get out of here. I'd like to just die and go, but I can't. And I'm totally convinced that to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now, he's already said this is a letter to his partners and his partner church. Greg, I'm convinced that he made that decision while he's writing this letter.
Right then, yeah, absolutely.
And he lived a number of years after that.
Yes, absolutely. But they needed him.
They needed to hear this.
Their spiritual father. Just as much as you are blessed by your partners, we're blessed by you.
Yes.
We need your example in the world today.
Yes.
That's part of why the Lord asked you about living to 120. Yes. For him, but for us.
I remember that. I was out on my back deck, and where I spent a lot of time praying out there. And in the spirit, where our home is right there on the lake, it's just a little ways, just across the lake there. In the spirit, I could see this bridge going across that lake, and what is that? And I don't know where that bridge is going. And it bothered me. And I kept looking at it and kept looking at it. And he talked to me about Barzillai and the fact that he was old and he was 80 and he couldn't hear and he couldn't see. And and David was going back to Jerusalem, and he wanted him to go with him, but he wouldn't go. And I thought, you know what? Had he gone, God would have healed him. Mm. And I'm sitting there thinking, Gloria had been teaching and preaching on the 90th Psalm, which is 70, 80 by strength. And in the Classic Amplified, there's a footnote at the bottom saying, this never was to be the longevity of man. Hmm. But Genesis 6:3 says, the normal lifespan of a man shall be 120 years. And I kept thinking about that and thinking about that. And all of those scriptures kept going through my mind. I heard this. Mm. Kenneth, will you go to Jerusalem with me? I said, of course I will. Of course I will. Mm. And I said, Jerusalem is, and he said, in your case, Jerusalem is Genesis 6:3. Will you do this for me? I said, I absolutely will do it for you. And right then I committed to him, and I entered into a covenant with him, longevity covenant, and that I will, in the name of Jesus, with your help, I will live and I will preach and teach the word of faith. Now, this is where the difference was. A lot of people have lived not long, and God bless them. But he's talking about to preach and teach the word of faith, because that was my assignment, teach my people faith. And so I said, of course I'll do it. I got all excited about it.
Yeah.
And that's when he began, and he took me all through all the steps. And then he got up to 90 and 85 and 90. And he said, Kenneth, I don't have these anointings in the earth. Mm. They're not here. Mm. And he said, 90 to 100, they're not here. 100 to 120, they do not exist. And I'm asking you, if you will do that for me. I said, I most certainly will. And I saw it in the Spirit. December the 6th, 2056. I'm not staying here a second longer. I'm getting out of here. Thank you very much. And I didn't think about it at the time. Now, you begin to be an oddity when you're still preaching the word of faith and still in good physical condition at 90. But you get up to 95, you become interested, the news media becomes interested in you. And anything above that?
That's a rarefied air.
Son, listen, you're going to have all kinds of cameras around.
Yes, sir.
And I saw it in the Spirit.
Amen.
Greg?
Amen.
On a platform outside, there's so many people that had come that to watch this event. As just a multitude of people. I had Gloria standing there by my side. She's 115. And we're standing there on that platform. And I preached the word of faith. I preached Mark 11, 22 and 23.
That is God.
And suddenly there was Jesus right there. Just right there. And he said, all right, kids, come on. And many, many people in the congregation saw him. Now, there's a lot of people that have decided to do this just because they heard me say it and preach it and teach it, you know?
Yeah. God asked you to do it. God asked you to do it.
He asked me to do it.
Didn't tell you to.
No, he didn't. He asked me to.
Yeah.
And That's the reason you can't kill me.
Amen.
You can't. So, and right there, our bodies just fall on the platform and off we go.
Hallelujah.
Into the wild.
You know, what you're describing is a biblical scene of another covenant partnership. Elijah and Elisha.
Yes. I was hoping you'd
get to that. He saw him go. When I see him go. And he got a double portion anointing from his partnership with Elijah. I look at Elijah, the fulfillment of this, Elijah and Elisha are John the Baptist and Jesus. He even said that.
Yes, he did.
He would come in the Spirit.
Yeah, he did.
The Spirit or the anointing of Elijah. Elijah's name in Hebrew is Eliyahu. Yes. And it means God, Yahweh's my God. And Elisha now, his name is Elishua, means God is my salvation. So it's a perfect picture of these two. There was a school of the prophets, so there was a lot of people around in Elisha's day that didn't get that anointing. But the guy who partnered with him said, he even tried to get rid of him once. Left his job on the farm.
Now you think about
him. And stayed with him.
What a gutsy guy.
Yeah.
He was plowing.
Yes, sir.
Behind a team of oxen. So he just killed the oxen and made a sacrifice out of them and burned the whole thing. And I'm going with you, sir. Now he said, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. I'm going with you.
And the first thing he does when Elijah, when he sees him go, was the first thing he does, he goes over and gets that mantle and he says, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And he parts the water with it. He does the exact same thing
he
saw his rabbi do. See what I'm saying? Jesus said, "Greater works will I do." That's his expectation of us.
Yes, it is.
And so when he sent them out two by two.
Bill Winston said, Jesus is the sample son.
I like it.
Don't you like that?
That's good.
I tell you what.
I'll give Bill credit one time. Samples.
I like the things that the Dr. William Winston says, that he's the sample son, that we're supposed to be doing what he does.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And that's what he did. When he sent them out two by two with his anointing and his authority and his power, that's what they did. Let me show it to you. Go to Acts chapter 3. You'll see them walk out what Jesus told them to do.
Yes, he did.
Now, what did he say when he said, send them out? He said, don't worry about what you're taking with you or what you're packing or all of that kind of stuff. What kind of...
Now, you know,
He didn't tell them, don't have money.
No.
Don't worry about it.
He said, don't take any of your stuff.
That's right.
And there are people that think they wore the same clothes for 3.5 years. You got to be... Anyway, now, at the end... what he said was, you're going to work for me.
Yeah.
And I'll take care of you. I'll supply everything. Now, this is the man that divided the loaves and fishes and fed thousands. You think he can't clothe you nicely? So, because he had partners, we read that in the book of Luke.
Yep.
And at the close, he said, did you lack anything? They said, no, Lord. We lacked nothing.
You just mentioned he fed the 5,000. Elisha will take barley and feed 100 men with it. He's a type and shadow.
Yes, he is.
Exactly what
Isn't
Jesus
that
did.
Good?
All right. Acts chapter 3, in case you were wondering, I don't know where he gets John as Elijah and Jesus as Elisha. Well, Elisha fed the multitude. Anyway. Acts chapter 3, here the boys are going to play this out, exactly what Jesus said. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily
at the
gate.
Now, the ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, I want to replay that. when I get to heaven. I want to see what Peter looked like when he fastened his eyes on him. I think it was intense.
Yes.
I think, because I've been drawn by the Spirit like that before, and you just can't get your eyes off somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Fastens his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said,
he's a beggar.
Yeah.
He has his head down. Now, he sees his boys coming through there because Jesus had gone through that temple gate over and over and over and over and over and over
all the time,
again.
Every time he walked in.
And so, and you know Jesus was always turning, Judas said, give the man some. So he's got his head down like this. I think he's probably smiling. And Peter said, look!
Because the anointing had come on him.
Yes.
He says, expecting to receive of them, silver and gold have I none, because he had been instructed, don't worry about what you're taking with you.
That's right.
They're doing exactly what they were told. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up, he walked, took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaping, stood, and walked, and entered. He went into the temple with them.
Yeah,
he'd never been in there. He'd been sitting out here all the time.
Shouting and jumping.
They went two by two with the anointing of Jesus, following the instructions that Jesus gave them when they went two by twos. There is covenant partnership after Jesus is gone,
yes,
working in the earth.
That's right.
Just as strong as if Jesus would have been there that day.
Now, when Peter was up on the housetop and he became hungry.
Yes. Sheet was let down.
And then that sheet was let down before him, all kinds of animals.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord said to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord. And never eat anything
common
coming in my mouth. This happened three times. Well, and then we all know there in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts how that worked out, where God sent him to Cornelius's house. And so he took others with him, knowing he's going to get a lot of flack because he knows what's going to happen when he gets into that Gentile's house, because this is 10 years after the day of Pentecost. It had been a Jewish church. He knows he's going to catch some kind of flack there. But he goes in there. He takes his partners with him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
And his partners were there. He was way too smart to go in there just by himself. He knows what's going to happen. He already knows. He's seen it in the Spirit. So he took his partners with him.
Witnesses.
His witnesses. Don't you love it?
Yes, sir. To
praise
establish
God.
This.
And sure
what
enough,
happened? That entire household got saved.
Yes, they did.
And got filled with the Holy Ghost, because it's covenant partnership.
And the Spirit of God fell on them. Don't you love it?
As he preached Jesus.
As
that
he
same
preached
anointing you. That Peter had touched and handled and partook of. Cornelius, we don't know that he ever did or ever met Jesus or anything. But his giving and his alms had gone up. And then he said, I
as a witness before
as
God.
As a witness. That I am not, and he says, God's not a respecter of persons. And the very first thing he preaches, it's in Acts chapter 10 right here, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, and we are his witnesses. We're his partners.
Yeah, that's it.
We
praise
saw
God.
It, we experienced it.
And people say, well, Brother Copeland, let's look over there, 10th chapter of that.
Yeah.
Brother Copeland. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism with John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And people say, but Brother Copeland, that is Jesus. No, it wasn't. It's God.
That's right.
And it's the same God that's on the inside of us today.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I'm going to start doing an hour broadcast. Come on, Jerry.
Thank you, Papa. Do you know the same God that anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, is the same God that is on the inside of you today? God is with you in the exact same way. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching, preaching, and healing. Now, coming up next is a partner testimony demonstrating the healing power of Jesus and His Word.
My name is Joseph Chinese. We're from the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, and this is my wife, Jean Chinese. You know, starting back, what happened is my mother was, I guess you might say, bipolar. She made my life miserable, and at the age of 16, she packed my bags. So I struggled a lot. I was broken by what my mother had done to me, and I felt just terrible about myself. I joined the Coast Guard, and this is where, you know, I could say God started coming into my life. I wasn't saved, but He did little things for me. I did very good in the Coast Guard. I was put into aviation school, where I did even better. I found my niche in life finally, and I said, maybe life is turning around for me, you know. I studied real hard, and it gave me a pick of going back to New Jersey, and I was devastated. I go to New Jersey. Under the craziest circumstance, I meet my wife. We got married, and right after that, I had my first symptoms of ulcerative colitis, and it got so bad in the military, they finally gave me a medical discharge. So I get born again, she gets born again.
Separately.
And, you know, the Lord starts coming in our life, and then around that time, we start getting introduced to Kenneth Copeland.
He seemed to address every issue we had in our lives with the Word. And he made us understand that God had integrity and would keep His Word. And so Kenneth Copeland caused us to love the Word and really love God, because we could trust God. He has integrity. He'll keep His Word. He'll keep what He says. He'll do.
I would listen to Kenneth Copeland. I mean, there was many things he did, but the last thing I did to get the healing is I was listening to the tapes until I felt like I was going to climb the walls. But the Lord said, don't stop listening. You got to listen. And you can ask my wife.
Both of us were like, another tape, another tape. We had a lot to get over.
I mean, I was saturated in the Word, and these were all the Kenneth Copeland tapes on healing and things. And I was in work. And, you know, with ulcerative colitis, you're running to the bathroom. I was doing every 15 minutes, filling it up with blood. And I was so sick, you know, I was so sick, but I wouldn't let it get to me. And I just kept saying, you know, by His stripes, I'm healed. And then something happened. I can't explain it to you. I went onto a very secluded area. And I said this, and it was the funny thing again. My mind stopped and my heart said this. Jesus, I don't pray this to you. I pray it to the devil. Devil, if you kill me today and show me on my tombstone, died of this date with ulcerative colitis, I will not believe it because, and I screamed it, by His stripes, I am healed. And all of a sudden, for the first time in a year or two, I could go straight up. And I felt like two hands were compressing me, and the heat was tremendous. And all of a sudden, everything left me. I went back to the doctor, and he said I was healed.
Yeah, I was in the waiting room. He had a test to see, you know, how bad it was or whatever. And he said, "I'm sorry it took so long." He said, I checked up and I checked down and I went back again because this is not the same. He said, "There's no sign that the disease ever was in his body. That's impossible." But we still haven't forgotten the principles. We still listen. We have the MP3 from last year's conference that we play in our room, or we play the Victory Network in our room all night long, because I think as humans, human vessels, we leak. And you got to keep getting filled up with the Word. And we just find that it's such meat. And it just has been such a wonderful meal for over 40 years for us.
Jesus is the healer, and Joe is now pain-free and living a normal life, praise God. He kept feeding his spirit a steady diet of the Word of God. You notice he put the Word in his eyes and his ears and agreed with the healing promises and believed God by faith. Your covenant with God can change any situation. Now, every Friday is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. So let me read to you again today from Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." This is about partnership. This is about the assignment on somebody to preach and to teach the Word, and it's about the assignment on those of us who hear it and receive it and respond to it. So you need to go before the Lord right now. If you've heard the Word today and all this week on this broadcast, find out what your part is in response to the Word that you've heard. And it's partnership that takes this same Word that's brought light and revelation to you and is committed to getting it into the lives of other people. And many of you watching right now, you are partners with this ministry. Many of you have been for decades, and we want to say thank you. Whether you've been standing and sowing into this ministry for years and years, or just the last few weeks or months, we want you to know how thankful we are for you. We pray for you. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland love and appreciate you and are praying for you every single day. And the Lord called KCM to preach this word of faith. And that's exactly what they've done faithfully for more than 50 years. They've obeyed God to get this uncompromised word of faith on every available voice. And over the years, the voices have been the broadcast, the network, the magazine, the website, every social media post, every prayer call, email, every event, and it goes on and on and on. When you sow into this ministry, you are connecting with a ministry that specializes in using their faith and teaching people how to live and to walk by faith. So tap into that anointing to operate in your own life. That's what partnership does. It's a connection. Father, we thank you for the giving of the people today. We receive it. We call them blessed in Jesus' name. Now, if you missed any of the broadcasts this week, you can always go back and watch them for free on KCM.org or on KCM's Roku channel. And let me encourage you, go to church this weekend. The Word of the Lord came to Brother Copeland saying that 2021 is the year of the local church. Be a part of what God is doing right now in your local church. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. To give by text, text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.